The reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 2. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as the anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him.
Well, do keep that passage open in front of you, and I'm going to lead us in prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have given us the truth. And so, Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would guide us in that truth this morning. Help us to be confident in it. Amen. Well, some people love a good conspiracy theory. Whether it's the Loch Ness Monster or the moon landings. But a particular area of interest to some Christians is the Antichrist. Over the years, there has been much speculation to who the Antichrist is. Popular suggestions have included the Emperor Nero, Napoleon, Adolf Hitler, various US presidents, and just about every pope there's been. Because of this wild speculation, it's easy to forget that the Antichrist is a real person. Because Scripture teaches very clearly that they will come. So we do want to move away from those conspiracy theories, but at the same time, we need to take seriously the message that Scripture teaches. Let's have a look at this passage together. And our first point this morning, the Antichrists. The Antichrists. Have a look at verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you've heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Well, John tells his readers that they are in the last hour. Now, this obviously isn't to be taken too literally, because if it literally was the last hour, there'd be little point in John writing. The letter wouldn't even make it to them before the hour was up. So what does John mean? When the Bible talks about the last hour, it's referring to the time between Jesus' first coming and his return. It's the last hour because this is the last period of time. When Jesus returns, he will bring this broken world to an end. And he will bring in a new, perfect world. Sometimes the last hour can be a bit more specific than that period. It may be talking about the period just before Jesus returns. And so it can either refer to the whole period between the two comings, or the immediate time before Jesus returns. So it doesn't really matter that it's been over 2,000 years. It could be another 2,000. It could be 10,000 years. The point is, we are waiting for Jesus to return. That is the next thing that will happen. That's why it's the last hour. The days of this world are numbered. It could be tomorrow. It could be next year. It could be many years. We don't know. But it is coming. And it could happen at any time. So it's the last hour. And John reminds the church of what they've heard. The Antichrist is coming. And the Antichrist, as the name suggests, is someone who is the opposite of Jesus. But it hints at more than that. Because Antichrist can also be used to describe someone who claims to be the person. And so when we think about the Antichrist, we're thinking about a person who claims to be the Christ. They claim to be God's rescuing king. But they're also the opposite to the Christ. Instead of truth and love and good, they're filled with evil and hate and lies. And the impression we get from Scripture is that the Antichrist is extremely powerful and evil and influential. It's someone who stands against Jesus and deceives people and leads them astray. That's why people look at these political and religious leaders and they ask, is that the Antichrist? Are they claiming power for themselves? Are they leading people away from Jesus? Those guesses just look silly when Jesus doesn't return. But what is not silly is realizing that this person is coming. And it's what John says next that hits this home to us. Even now, many antichrists have come. You see, we're not just waiting for the antichrist, the person who will come at the very end. Antichrists are here now. There may be one definitive one, but they're not alone. There are many antichrists, and they were around in John's day, and they're around today as well. So when we're thinking about antichrist, we're not thinking about supernaturally powerful embodiments of evil. We're talking about people. People who we would walk past in the streets without blinking an eye. John says this is how we know we're in the last hour, because these antichrists are among us. You see, there can only be an antichrist if there is first a Christ. The only reason antichrist can exist is because Christ has already come. So John says that these antichrists are the proof that we're in the last hour. They're the proof that Christ has indeed come. Well, John tells us a few things about these antichrists, about who they are and about what they will do. And perhaps most significant is verse 22 and 23. So have a look down there. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. This is what makes John describe someone as an Antichrist. That they deny that Jesus is the Christ. They say that Jesus wasn't really sent by God. Jesus wasn't really God's promised rescuer. Jesus isn't really God's son come in the flesh. Jesus' death was not an atoning sacrifice for forgiveness. And if it's bad enough that they deny Jesus, John says it's worse than that, because they deny the Father as well. You see, the Father and the Son, they're inseparable. You can only know the Father if you know the Son. You can only know the Son if you know the Father. To know the Son is to know the Father. Because it's God the Father who sent his Son Jesus into the world. Jesus is the perfect image of the Father. He does the Father's work. He obeys and honors his Father in all he does. God sent his Son so that we might know him and have a relationship with him. Therefore, you cannot know one without knowing the other. You can't possibly claim to have God as your Father if you deny his Son, Jesus. But if you acknowledge that Jesus is God's Son, that he's the Christ, that he is your Savior, then the wonderful truth is you come to know the Father as well. The all-powerful God who created the whole universe becomes our Father. When we know Jesus, we know God as well. And that is why this situation is so sad. These people who claim to know God, who claim to have fellowship with God, who claim to be walking in the light, they're wrong. Whether they realize it or not, they are liars. They might think that they know God, but the reality is they don't. They can't. They deny who Jesus is. They deny who Jesus claimed to be. Therefore, they deny God the Father as well. Well, John has another important thing to say about these antichrists, and we see it in verse 19. It says this: they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. These antichrists, they once belonged to the church. Well, they didn't really, but it looked like they did. They were a part of things. They came to the gathering. They were known. Most likely they even professed faith. But John says, although it looked like they belonged to the church, although it looked like they were part of things, in reality they were not. They were never truly part of the church. And the reason that John can say this is because they left. This isn't just moving from one church to another. That would have happened from time to time as people move location. The problem isn't moving from one church to another. The problem is they've left the church altogether. And John says the fact that they have left Jesus' church shows them for what they are. It reveals the truth that they never truly belonged. You see, a true follower of Jesus wouldn't leave the church. A true believer wouldn't deny Jesus. And so if someone does leave the church, and they do stop following Jesus, the sad truth is they were never a believer in the first place. So John warns the church about these people, these antichrists. Verse 26, I am writing these things to you, that those who are trying, about those who are trying to lead you astray. These people are trying to lead Christians astray. They haven't just left, but they're trying to take others with them. They're trying to persuade others that they have the truth. That is why they are dangerous. They're dangerous because they're known, and they know the church. They're dangerous because on the surface, they look and sound like Christians. They're dangerous because they deny that Jesus is the Christ. And they're dangerous because they claim it's possible to know the Father by other means. But like a Venus flytrap, they don't deliver on their offer. They might look appealing. They might promise good. But to follow them is like an insect landing on the flower. It only takes a snap. And it's too late. You made a big mistake. Instead of getting life, you're brought death. This is what the Antichrist do. They say, listen to us. We can show you another way, a better way. A way to God without Jesus. A way to God without scripture. A way to God without suffering. A way to God without sacrifice. Come and join us. And so they put themselves in Jesus' place and they offer salvation. And it sounds so good, but it's a lie. They truly are antichrists, because instead of life, they bring death. And so, brothers and sisters, we must be aware of antichrists. And we must watch out that we're not led astray. And just in case you're still struggling with this word antichrist, let me warn you without using that word. We must beware of those who claim to be Christians, but who deny Jesus. They might deny him outright in obvious ways, or they might be more subtle. For example, they might say that they believe in Jesus, but they deny it's his death, by his death that we are saved. Or they might say they believe in Jesus, but that he wasn't really God's son. Or they might say they believe in Jesus, but you know, he still made mistakes, so we don't need to listen to everything that he said. But if Jesus is the Christ, then it is impossible to say those things without denying him. Let's be clear, these people who deny Christ, they might be nice, they might be friendly, they might even have good intentions. But if they deny Jesus is Christ, then they are liars and they are dangerous. We must have our guards up so that we're not led astray. There will be church leaders and influential Christians who will sound plausible and will call us over to come to their side, to come into the lights. And this might be particularly tempting when it's people we know, friends who were once part of the church. And now they're questioning, why are you still part of things? Why haven't you moved on yet? Why haven't you come to this new way of thinking? But if we know Jesus, if we know that he is the Christ, then we don't need to move on. We are already in the lights. This is what we're going to look at in our second point this morning, as we look at how to respond to these antichrists. And so our second point this morning, the anointed. Well, in verse 19, John identified this group who have gone out from church and they've showed themselves to have never been part of the church, the antichrists. Well, in verse 20 and 21, he contrasts that group with those who truly are part of the church. And he says this, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth." In all of the lies that come from the antichrists, John says they know the truth. They know the truth about Jesus. They know that he's the Christ. They know he's God's son. They know he's a rescuing king. This is the gospel they've heard. So John isn't writing them to them to tell them this truth. They know it. He's reminding them of it. Don't need to be taken in by false teaching antichrists, because they know the truth themselves. And therefore they can identify the lies that they're being told? How do they know they already have the truth? Well, John reminds them it's because they have an anointing from the Holy One. In the Old Testament, being anointed was an outward sign with oil that symbolized a spiritual reality, that God's presence and favor was with a person. But what John is talking about here is not an anointing with oil, and it's not just symbolic. No, this anointing is what Christians receive when they hear and respond to the gospel. And it comes through the Holy Spirit and through God's word. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes into us and he opens our eyes and he changes our hearts so that we can see the truth of Scripture, so that we can see who Jesus really is. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He leads us into truth. He's the one who inspired Scripture, and he's the one who helps us to understand it. He points to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is from Jesus. He sent him to us to help and to guide us. And so we have this anointing from the Anointed One. Because that's what Christ means. Anointed One, God's chosen one. You see, God's presence was with Jesus in a way like no other. Because he is himself God. And so the Anointed One anoints us so that we might know that he is the Anointed One. That is, the Anointed One, Jesus, anoints us with the Holy Spirit so that we might know he truly is the Christ. And of course, this is exactly what the Antichrist deny. They say Jesus is not the Christ. So John's point is that because they have the Holy Spirit, they have the truth. And therefore, anything that departs from that truth must be a lie. If you're asking the question of who is lying when it comes to the Holy Spirit on one hand and Scripture and the Antichrist on the other, John says it's crystal clear. It can't possibly be the Holy Spirit who is lying. I think this is what we see then in verse 27. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Now, John is obviously slightly exaggerating here. He can't be saying they don't need any teaching. Scripture tells us that the word teaches in the early church and how important they are. And the fact that John and others wrote these letters to churches means that people did need to be taught. What John has in mind here is a teaching that goes against the truth. The teaching that goes against the message of Jesus. The teaching that goes against Scripture. It's the voice that says, you don't need Jesus. Move on from him. Move on from his teaching. Move on from your faith in him. Let us show you a better way. Let us teach you something the Bible can't. We all need teaching to help us know Jesus better. We all need teaching to help us live more for him. But none of us need teaching that denies him. None of us need teaching that moves us away from him. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and he will always point us to Jesus. He will take the things that we see and we hear, and he'll help us to discern the truth. And therefore, when people try to come and deceive us and tells us lies about Jesus, he'll help us to say, no, that is not true. So hear what John is saying. If you're a Christian, then you've heard and you know the truth. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit who will show you the truth. Jesus is the Christ. So if somebody comes and tells you something different, then don't listen to them. You don't need them. However interesting, however persuasive, however appealing, however nice they are, if they're taking you away from Jesus, then they are liars. So if I or anybody else teaches you about Jesus, then listen and learn and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. But if I or anyone else denies Jesus, don't listen. That is not teaching that you need. There is no truth outside of Jesus. Well, before we finish, one final point. Don't be led astray, but remain in him. John warns his readers about the Antichrist because they are leading people astray. Being led astray is a dangerous thing, because being led away from Jesus means being led away from God. Rather than being led astray, he urges them to remain. Verses 24 and 25. See that what you've heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. John desperately wants them to remain in God. God the Father and God the Son. Because remaining in God is the best place you can be. It's the safest place you can be. There is nowhere else to go. And the way that we remain in God is by having the truth remain in us. In other words, in order to remain in Jesus, the truth of Jesus needs to remain in us. So we must never tire of Jesus. We must never move on from him. We must cling to him. Think about what it's like when you move in to a new house. When you sign the contract, the house becomes yours. But that doesn't immediately make it your home. It takes time and effort before it becomes your home. You have to make it yours. Decorate it how you want it. Put the furniture where it works for you. Repair things that are broken. And slowly over time, more and more it becomes your home. More and more it becomes a place that you feel safe and comfortable and happy. And in one sense, it's a process that never ends. There are always changes to make and improvements to make. This is what it's like for the truth and the Holy Spirit to remain in us. He comes in and straight away we belong to God. But we're not the finished article. And so more and more, he changes us. He makes us the way God wants us to be. And so we must let this truth remain in us and never move on from it. And when we do that, when we remain in him, we're given his promise, the promise of eternal life. Because that's what's at stake. It is only in Jesus that we find life. So those that turn away from Jesus will find themselves turning away from life. Brothers and sisters, do not be led astray by those who deny Jesus. But instead, let the truth dwell in you. That Jesus is the Christ, and in turn come to God and have life, eternal life, the life that comes through Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is indeed the Christ, that he is your rescuing King. We thank you that we have this truth, that you have taught us this truth, that by your Spirit you have confirmed this truth in our hearts and our minds. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us not to be led astray when antichrists, when false teachers come and deny Jesus, when they try to lead us away from Jesus. Father, we pray that the truth that we know would hold us fast. Father, we pray that we would clearly see the lies that we're being told. And Father, we thank you that when we remain in you, you promise us life, eternal life with you forever. Father, we pray that we would never move from that. Amen.